This is a totally different podcast episode than I usually do because here I'm showcasing the amazing people who will be at Fluence Unlocked conference, the first conference for freelancers that made with love, and it'll take place in Berlin on May 15, 16, 2024. If you are a freelancer in Europe, it's an event made for you to learn, exchange experiences, and build your network of great freelancers and experts who move the freelance economy forward. So go to fluenceunlocked.com and grab your ticket right away. My name is Yuri. I'm a community builder at Code Control and 9am.works, and my guest is Matthew Matola, a co-founder and CEO of The Human Cloud, a global freelance advisory firm, a published author, and a Freelance Forbes contributor who is pushing the boundaries of the freelance economy and growing the global freelance pie. So, hello, Matthew.
Hey, Yuri. Thanks for having me, bud.
You're already the second time guest on this podcast, on this conference. It's a little bit different episode. Yes, it's a bonus. Still, here you are. But how did you start your journey in the freelance world?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's funny because you'll see, by the way, you have a better background than I do. We moved this past week. So the no books, if this is on video, usually I got books, don't worry, but we literally moved this weekend. But listen, my background, I've been in this space for 10 plus years now, basically my whole career. But I'll start with now and then I'll do a little reverse engineer. But at Human Cloud, we were fortunate to see sort of a 10,000 foot view over the industry, as well as boots on the ground, right? And so we really are able to come in and say, hey, we've looked at 100 plus platforms, we've looked at 1,000 plus freelancers, we see every single continent. This is what's happening in the freelance space. Now, in terms of my own involvement, I just got super lucky, Yuri, is the way that I put it. I got introduced to freelance back in 2012. I didn't know it was called freelance. I didn't know it was called freelancing. I was just consulting because I needed to make money in a way that a full-time internship couldn't do. And so that's what sort of opened my eyes to it. But I've kind of been able to see every side of the space. And so I was early at a platform called Gigster, custom software dev, Andreessen back in 2016. I was early there. I was at Microsoft building our freelance program, as well as the freelance toolkit, which had 50 Fortune 500 scale a freelance workforce. I built a company called Venturel, venture-backed company, sold it, trying to help the individual freelancer scale. And so I've kind of seen every single part of the pie, meaning how tough is it to be a freelancer? How tough is it to hire freelancers? How tough is it to build a platform? And I couldn't be more excited and inspired by it, but also it's a painful industry, meaning we are not as sexy as some of the tech and other industries.
On what side of the industry are you at the moment?
Currently, I would say technically on all sides still, since we do advisory, mostly looking at the enterprise adoption as well as the platform success.
Now, it's interesting. Your journey looks like pretty much like mine in the community world, because I was building communities before even knowing that it's called building communities. And I'm curious, so give me a sneak peek into what you'll be talking about on the Freelance Unlocked stage.
Yeah, so there's a theme that we keep coming back to that we call Freelance 2.0. Now, it's funny to me because there's been four waves in the freelance economy, which we'll show in the presentation. But what really the talk is about is Freelance 2.0, how to meet the moment. And so a lot of freelancers, a lot of freelance leaders, which we would define as people moving in the space. So for example, platform leaders, executives hiring freelancers. We're in this interesting place where the data says we're doing phenomenal. You see stats like 90% increase in freelancers, 36 million freelancers in the US, over half the workforce will be freelancers. There's 435 million freelancers globally, right? So you got all these stats talking about how awesome our industry is. We're also seeing a lot of movement. And so there's a bunch of venture-backed companies in the space. There's a bunch of new HBR stats and stories coming out related to us. So it seems like we're doing good, right? And it's kind of been that way since 2016, if you've been in the space for a while. But the boots on the ground, business performance is actually neutral and people are hurting and things are changing. And so when we say meet the moment, what we are going to show is we're kind of at this inflection point where freelance today is different than freelance yesterday and is different than freelance tomorrow. And unfortunately, there is cracks. And if you don't adjust, you can get caught in the cracks. There's an interesting analogy we're going to use, which it's not to get too geeky and technical on Yuri, but it's called the middle income trap. And so if you look at countries, when they have to evolve from developing into a developed nation, they can get caught in this middle income trap where they're not quite good enough to hit developed, and they kind of get stuck. Freelancing's in a similar spot where we've evolved from being a very transactional industry, a very gig-based industry, to now we kind of need to grow up. And grow up means we have to be professional. We have to be able to compete head-to-head with external staffing, with agencies, with consultancies. And that's painful, you know? That's really, really painful. And so, you know, the theme of the talk is really freelance 2.0 in terms of this is where our industry can get to and is going to get to. But you have to meet the moment. And so for every single freelancer in the audience, it's going to be about, hey, here's how the industry is changing, and here's what you need to do to be ready to adapt and meet the moment.
So what I hear is that the industry is growing, hopefully, and yeah, for sure, definitely changing. But what are the biggest challenges that freelancers face right now?
It's always the same, man. It's always yeah,
exactly.
The same. It's always the work. It's so funny. Like if you look at, and John has the biggest data that I've seen is the global study on freelancing that John did and with the University of Toronto. And really what it shows is that, listen, income is always the biggest problem. Getting work is always the biggest problem. And I think where freelance is unique is that it's not as simple as, hey, I have enough money, I don't. Freelance is definitely more susceptible to the feast or famine, which my time at VentureL, which was building a freelancer operating system, I mean, we saw it at scale, right? We saw 1,000+ global freelancers stuck in this feast and famine trying to get out. And so I think what we've seen as a whole in the industry is there's definitely been a holding pattern. And what I mean by that is the economy as a whole, it's not necessarily, you know, high growth. It's also not necessarily in a recession, which means people are just holding. And when people are holding, they're sticking to what they've always done, and they don't feel like they really need to change. And unfortunately, that means that freelance kind of gets stuck in terms of, well, I don't need to do to move, right? I don't need to hire that freelancer. I don't need to renew the project. Unlike when it's high growth, when they say, okay, we need to scale up, let's hire freelancers, or things are bad, we need the cost efficiency. So kind of stuck in this holding pattern. And that's the best way we've heard it described, is it's not high growth, it's not a recession. So there's no, you know, there's no reason to really make a change. With that said, freelancers get kind of stuck right now in the professionalization of the industry, which can hurt them in terms of really scaling their work. And so one of the factors we'll look at is legislation. Over 60% of freelance leaders say their government's unsupportive. The net impact of that is that freelancers then bear the burden of legislation not being favorable for them. And the poor individual freelancer, you don't have the indemnification, the insurance to bear the brunt, right, of what an enterprise or what a company needs to hire you. So overall, I mean, the biggest burden is what it's always been. It's always been getting work and scaling work sustainably, not burning out. And so, yeah.
Am I understanding this correctly, that at the moment, the more the number of freelancers is growing, but the number of projects is not really. And the more freelancers are becoming freelancers, the less other people are getting paid for.
Yeah, it definitely creates a more competitive environment, for sure. One of the things that we'll talk about in the talk is we need to be more collaborative and not competitive. And we actually will talk very, very tactically and selfishly on why collaboration is good. Not because it's warm and feely, right? Not because it's like, oh, we need to all be in this together. No. Very selfishly, you need to be able to scale, and you need to have both diversity of skills, but then also be able to go up and downstream. And, you know, if we bring it to first principle, you know, freelance 2.0 is professionalizing and being able to meet the existing work infrastructure. Part of that is being an individual freelancer is great, but the person that's hiring you, they don't want to hire a freelancer. They need to get the work done. And usually to get the work done requires an agency or teams. And so individual freelancers need to go beyond just being an individual and have the network of collaborators that enables them to say, hey, I'm going to build you the full website, not just this wireframe, or I'm going to give you a full content strategy, not just this individual article. So you nailed it that the supply is way too big. Compared to the demand. The demand is, I don't want to say it's not totally stagnant, but it's tough, right? There's no other way to put it than it's tough. And there is a lot of creative things happening there. So we'll talk about in the talk, like there's 800 plus specialized platforms. As of now, according to the data we've seen, around 40% of freelancers are on platforms. We'll kind of discuss, listen, platforms can be good. I know that in the general freelance community, you hear platform, you go, ick, you know, why would I give my money to the platform? Well, that platform is fighting to get you work, right? The incentives are aligned for that platform to win you work. So if you don't want to go to it, okay, it's your choice. But at the same time, you know, platforms can do a lot to really, really help. Another thing is there's some cool startups that we'll talk about that are doing things to like monetize peer-to-peer referrals. So if you say, hey, client, you want that, let me refer you, well, you can make money in that too. So, you know, overall, you nailed it in terms of the supply is too large. But with that said, whenever people ask about that one, I'm like, it wasn't everyone would freelance if they could. And not everyone, okay, not everyone, but most people, if you said, hey, do you want the freedom and flexibility or do you want the full-time, you know, contract? I'd take the freedom and flexibility if I had the stability, right?
You know, freedom and flexibility. So it sounds like if you are an individual freelancer, you have to team up with people. When you team up, you build an agency. When you build an agency, you create a company. When you create a company, you're like, oh, this, oh my God, I'm so burned out. I have so many people and so many stuff doing. It's reminding me of the South Park episode where they burnt Walmart and then like, let's go shop locally. And then they're shopping locally and there's those nice shops are growing, and then they are burning it once again. So, like,
The cycle, man, it bundles and unbundles. I think with freelance, you can stay because it's funny. Eventually, we built the software for freelancers teaming up, right? I think you can stay having the freedom and flexibility and not turning into a manager. That's usually the core of it is like, hey, I didn't freelance to be a manager. Like, who? No one really likes to be a manager. But with that said, I think freelancing puts you in a much more intentional state where you have to be very, very explicit about what your value is and what the outcomes and deliverables you're going to produce is. I think that takes most of the management away, but yeah.
you were talking about the income instability and the project instability. So, are there any ways how we can solve this in the future of work?
Yeah, okay, so I'll give you a hint to, so what we're going to say is like, hey, these are the three steps you need to do right now. And we're saying this from a lens of the data is very strong supporting this at both a platform and an individual level. So the first is simplify. So literally being able to say, hey, this is my one-liner, stuck in an elevator, here's my elevator pitch, right? I'm X for Y and I, you know, it'll take Z. Second thing is to specialize. So one of, and this is also coming from the data of what do company leaders really, really look for? Because one of the toughest parts as a freelancer is you don't see the data of what the companies overwhelmingly want, right? You just see what your individual pipeline and individual clients have. But so simplify, specialize as we look at what companies need. They need cutting edge skills. Like that is the overwhelming sort of hook for why clients buy. And that is, I need cutting edge access to AI or the specific industry that you're in or the specific niche that you have. And so, an example that I'll give is like when we were building the Human Cloud book, and you know, a product and software background. So, I say build versus wrote, right? Because it took 16 different freelancers to get it done. But so, when we were building the Human Cloud book, we had a section that was on DaVinci. Now, when we were getting writers, I think we had like 8 to 12 writers throughout the book. There was a writer who literally specialized in DaVinci. Now, 20 years ago, wouldn't really help, right? Like their resume would not say, I'm a DaVinci lover. It just really wouldn't help their resume. But in a freelance capacity, when you look at the cool things they've done related to DaVinci, obviously we were going to hire that writer over every single other person because they had that specialization. And when you look at platforms, what you're seeing, like I mentioned, there's 800 plus globally right now. The reason that they are existing and growing so fast is because they specialize. So something like Laceless is just for shoe designer freelancers. If you look at Trees Engineering, it's for oil and gas engineers in Malaysia. There's this level of specialization that freelance enables, and it's the whole digital network aspect. But so specializing is also crucial. And then the third is networking, but networking very selfishly in terms of who's going to help me scale. And so who's going to be able to take on complementary tasks, but also go above and below. So for example, if I'm a 5-year designer, have someone higher than me and have people lower than me. Also have writers and developers, not just me. And so that's sort of the three tactical thing that we'd say is, hey, are you simplifying? Are you specializing? And have you networked? And then from there, I mean, it's just a timing game, unfortunately, you're right? It's like every freelancer at the end of the day, what, 40% of our business is being in sales, which kind of sucks, but there's no other way to do it. And so if you have those three things, what I'd say is your life's going to be a lot easier as you build your pipeline and grow your pipeline than if you don't.
You know, what you are talking about is definitely applicable for those who are senior experts and for those who are just starting a freelancing career. And it's definitely easier for those who are starting because, you know, they don't have any like blocks, any mindset, any stuff like old thinking, let's say. So how do you think?
And here's the tough part, Yuri, about that, just because I want to make sure I call out what you as part of it. One of the toughest parts right now is that most of the work is going to not freelancers, but people that are new to freelance. And the reason for that is they already have the client relationship. And it's typically the 5+ year. They're usually calling themselves fractional or independent, but those individuals, right? Like, and that's where the freelancer who's been freelancing for 10 years, unfortunately, they can get caught. You know, that's where they're caught in the crosshairs of this transition. So I wanted to make sure I called that out, that a lot of the net new projects work is happening from leaders who prior were CHROs or directors or VPs. And they're saying, listen, I want to freelance and I'm taking my client and then book a business with me already. So that is one of the newer trends.
What is one thing that those people who have like 10+ years of experience have to change to thrive?
I think they have the network, which I know sounds ick. I forget the exact data point, but it was something like less than 30% of freelancers said they were good at networking. And so that's definitely one of the Achilles heel. In terms of the networking, I also think it goes to being creative about the sales process. And so prior, if you were freelancing, it was kind of like a binary thing where it was like, I only get work from my network, or I only get work from platforms. And the future, that's not the case. It's looking like it's a blend of both, right? It's, hey, I have 3 clients that come from a platform and I have 2 clients that I have a direct relationship with. And it might be, as we all know, sorry platforms, but it might be, I met this person on a platform, we worked for a year and then we went off platform. That might be the case, right? But so that is, you know, those are the two, I'd say, biggest gaps that I see. I always feel bad in terms of what we're able to see that the individual freelancer can't typically, is that working with a freelancer is really risky and requires a lot of compliance that large companies, and this is more unique to large companies can't work with you individually. And so they might go through the pain of setting up an approved vendor process for you individually, but they're not going to do that when you scale across the company. Whereas if you work with a platform, that platform is going to have over $1 million of business insurance and indemnification so that you can work with the company. So I'd say that's one of the biggest, like, just cultural kind of weaknesses is typically freelancers are so against platforms. And I understand why. I totally get it. But we just need to come together. And they are coming together as the industry progresses.
That's exactly what Mina from Airbus told me, that they work with platforms because they just can't work with individuals. And it was like, I was like, oh, wow, I've never thought about that. But that's exactly how it is. And like, you know, after this moment, like every conversation of like, oh, platform sucks, are not good on projects and we cannot find good clients through them. Like, what are you talking about? Our clients are talking that they're working with platformers. That's why. So, and you are definitely going to the Freelance Unlocked conference, but what would you say to your friend if they asked you whether they should go to the Freelance Unlocked?
Why not? You know,
that's how it works. Okay.
That's it. Why not? I'd say that if you're passionate about this space, there's not that many venues of fellow people that are passionate. I'd say one of the big advantages is that you're seeing people that have been further down the journey. So a lot of times, you know, I was at South by Southwest a couple of weeks ago, and you're dealing with people who said a great quote, and that was, is this industry new or new to you? And more times than not, we have conferences that are not specifically for the freelance economy. And the people that are there are kind of just, it's new to them. And so it's not bad, right? Like if you're trying to get clients and stuff, like, it's not bad. But it's seldom that you have a room and a region or exact location that you can be with people that have been in the trenches and the journey with you. That's what I would say. But yeah, why not, man?
And what is the best way to connect with you even before the conference?
I'd say go to my LinkedIn. Go to my LinkedIn. Yeah. Just don't try to sell anything.
Got it. You never know. You never know. Okay. So, Matt, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom even before the conference. And I can wait to learn even more from you on Freelance Unlocked and hope to see you very soon in person.
Yuri, I can't wait. I better see you in person. If not, I will. Yeah. Freak out.
We'll find things out. We'll find things out. Definitely. And for those who listen to this episode, I hope you learn from Matt's experience and say thank you to him in person at the Freelance Unlocked conference on May 15-16 in Berlin. So go to the freelanceunlocked.com, grab your ticket and meet you there.